So we're every 3 weeks we're doing a series on sayings from the cross. So this is our second in that series, and we're focusing on the word mother. So we're going to read the few verses where this appears in John chapter 19. It's just a few short verses. John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. So it's on the screen if you'd like to follow it, but if you'd like to turn to your Bible, you can also keep an eye as we go through the sermon on the passage as well. So John 19, verse 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Just going to pause and pray, ask for God's help as we look at this part of his word. So let's talk to him now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read it and we can learn it. We can understand it. We pray now, Lord, for your Spirit's work in our hearts to apply the truths to our lives and to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, that you be working now. Help us all as we dig into your word, as we think more about these truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So are you a good son or daughter? Are you a real mummy's boy or a daddy's girl or the other way around? I think growing up, I was a mummy's boy. Maybe I still am. Apparently, as a young boy, my mum was the only woman I would even talk to. Thankfully, that wore off before I met Grace. But there is a special relationship between a mother and her son, isn't there? We see it all over the place. I see it in our family with Grace and with Perrin. It's a beautiful relationship between a mother and her son. The heart of the mother and the love of a son coming together beautifully. Now, it's not always rosy, but this relationship is a wonderful one to be celebrated. But how do you relate to your parents? Do you just tolerate them? They did the job of raising me, and now, well, I don't live under their roof, so I don't need to pay too much attention anymore. All my parents do is say no. All they do is make rules and more rules. Or do you gladly listen to the wisdom of your parents? You pay attention to their words, go to them when you need help or advice. Do you make a fuss of them in their old age or just visit because it's a duty? Do you love spending time with them even if they're a bit out of touch with what's cool? The relationship between parents and children is very unique and can certainly be very complicated. And as Christians, the command to honour your father and mother never goes away. Now that will be different for a 4-year-old, a 14-year-old or a 40-year-old. The principle remains that we need to honour our father and mother. And as we come to the second of our sayings from the cross, we're going to encounter a mother and son relationship like no other. We see a mother who tragically watches, helplessly, as her son is executed. And a son who honors his mother in the most exemplary and beautiful way. And in this series, as we're focusing on the things that Jesus said on the cross, it will hopefully lead our minds and hearts helpfully to the cross, what he did. And as we come to celebrate around the Lord's table, our hearts and minds will be led to who he is and what he's like. So we see that Jesus provides practically. We see the devastating scene of a son being executed on a cross with his mother standing nearby. In one way, we're so familiar with the story, it doesn't ring home. But try to imagine the horror of your son or your daughter being executed for no legitimate reason, having committed no crime, and all you can do is stand helplessly by. It's devastating. And in the midst of this heartbreaking scene where Jesus is nailed to the cross and his mother is standing nearby, he sees her. He looks around from the cross and he sees his mum. If you ever need help or strength to do something hard, your mum's a good person to have right beside you. Having been rejected by his own people, deserted by his friends, betrayed by one of his own disciples, he was really alone. But his mother stood by him. And his priority in seeing her there is providing for her. Now, in the Gospels, we can infer from the absence of Joseph that he's since passed away. He's no longer on the scene, and Mary is now a widow. And now her eldest son, Jesus, is being put to death. And this may mean ruin and danger for Mary herself. So Jesus provides practically for his mother. Having been deserted by all his disciples, one disciple has returned. He's come back to Jesus. He's come to the cross. It's John. We know that the disciple whom Jesus loved, we know to be John. And Jesus makes sure that his mum is going to be cared for when he's no longer with them. He looks at Mary and says in verse 26, "Woman, here is your son." And he looks at John and he says in verse 27, "Here is your mother." He exemplifies what it means to honor your parents. Well, he was now in his 30s, but he took very seriously the need to honor his father and mother. His father was no longer with them, but his mother was here and she was vulnerable. And here he honored her by making sure she would be cared for by John, the one who he himself loved and was very close to. Jesus provides practically for his mother, showing her honor and love. So how is it that we honor our parents? The Israelites were given this command as part of the Ten Commandments: honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's in Exodus 20. And it's then reiterated by Paul in Ephesians when he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." How you honor your parents will look different depending at what stage you're at. If you're a teenager, it'll mean following the rules that your parents set down, being home by a certain time, or getting homework or essays done before watching Netflix, or not watching certain TV shows or movies that they say you can't. It means doing what they ask. It means not doing what they forbid. It means behaving and living in a way that your parents would expect, even when you're not with them. Well, then if you've left home and you no longer live under their roof, it's going to change. You'll no longer need to live to obey the rules that they set down or to avoid the things that they prohibit. You're now free to make up your own mind and decide what you do yourself. But we still need to honor our parents. Things like giving them time in our busy schedules, making sure we don't lose touch or ignore them completely. If we're at a distance from them, it means staying in touch. Or if we're close, maybe visiting now and then. That they're not at the bottom of our list when it comes to who we spend time with. It means showing respect to them, even when we disagree or when they act in ways we feel is unhelpful. And when parents are aging and sometimes alone, it means being more of a support to them than we were previously. maybe at a distance, maybe right up close, but being a present help to them, ensuring they are cared for, or providing that care ourselves. Not passing on our responsibility, assuming or hoping someone else will step in. We need to show them that sacrificial love and care that we receive from them as little children and even as babies. And this is what Jesus exemplifies for us, in that he's showing honor to his mother in how he provided practically for her. Jesus provides practically in the midst of his suffering. He also showed his wonderful character, his deep care for individual relationships, in that he did this in the midst of his suffering. Jesus was at the point of death on the cross. He was at the pinnacle of his work of salvation in dealing with the righteous anger of God, but yet he made time to deal gently with his mother. The climax of this work of redemption was now at hand. The fate of the human race was in the balance. Reversing the effects of the fall, taking the punishment for sin, opening the way to God, all of humankind, all of creation, the entire universe was in view. There's never been a more costly or far-reaching plan. But yet, in the midst of his suffering and his world-changing work, he cares and provides for his needy mother. We see the beautiful character of God coming through in how Jesus responds and honors his mother. The bigger plan doesn't steamroll the small details. Both were important to Jesus. Jesus was not too busy. He wasn't too taken up. He didn't have too much on his mind so as to ignore the little details. We see his personal care and attention in how he cares for his mother in the midst of his suffering. Unlike many world leaders whose attention is solely placed on the larger goal, where the minor details are not their concern, Jesus' attention is on both. And that's how he deals with us. He simultaneously sustains the universe and all of life while being concerned for us that we're not sleeping well right now, or that work is difficult. He is a loving God who doesn't neglect any in his care. And Jesus is an example of how we should act towards those in our care. Perhaps it's children, grandchildren, siblings, spouses, parents. At some time or other, we all have responsibility for the care of others. And we, together as a church, are responsible to one another. We have committed ourselves as his people here in Westside to be a family. And that's a responsibility. And the larger, greater, important plans of our lives should not come at the expense of those we are responsible for. A high-flying career should not come at the expense of raising your children. An interesting and enjoyable hobby should not come at the expense of spending time with your family. A place at the top of your chosen sport should not come at the expense of much needed time with your church family. A busy social life should not come at the expense of vital care and attention that might be needed by a parent. Jesus exemplifies what it means to care for those he's responsible for. He's not too busy. He's not too distant. He's not too taken up to ensure that his mother is cared for. And what's wonderful is that that's how he deals with us. We are in his care when we come to him in faith. He's never too busy, never too occupied to be caring about the minor and small details of our lives. He deeply cares. And it's a picture for us to imitate in how we care and provide for those God has entrusted to us. And that includes one another. So Jesus provides practically in the midst of his suffering, showing grace to those he loves. Earlier, I mentioned that Jesus had been deserted by all his disciples, but now one returned. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And we know this to be John. He'd come back to the cross. He was standing there nearby. He had returned having deserted Jesus. It's hard to come back and admit you were wrong, isn't it? It's like the words don't quite come out. There's a block. It's very difficult to do. Maybe it's an argument you had. Or it's a bad decision that you made. Maybe you ran away from responsibility, like John and the other disciples did. It's so hard to come back. Maybe you fear the wrath of your parents or the disapproving look from your spouse or the silent treatment from a friend. Maybe we deserve to be rebuked or scolded for making bad decisions, for saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. Maybe we deserve to live with the discipline or consequences of our bad decisions. And Jesus was there on the cross, and he saw John. And he could have rebuked John when he saw him again. He could have given him a disappointed look. He could have made clear to him that John had failed him as a friend. But that's not what he did. He showed him grace. John returns to the cross not to be scolded or rebuked, but to be shown immense grace in how Jesus now entrusts John with great responsibility. Here it's the care of his own mother. This was a special task, one that perhaps one of Jesus' own brothers may have been expected to fulfill, but they were not here. They were not present. But John had returned, and he was shown this amazing grace. Have you been shown grace like this when you've messed up? I know I have. I've crashed a car twice in my life. That's not my car, although I did crash a Silver Focus. One was into the back of another car who stopped suddenly, and I wasn't looking properly. And the other was into a hedge because I was driving too fast. The second one was scarier because I was only 17 or 18 and I was still driving my parents' car. My main concern was, what is my dad going to say? He is going to be furious. And one of the vivid memories of my accident or my crash was sitting at our kitchen table worried, what is my dad going to say? Now, maybe fortunately for me, he wasn't in the house that night. But when he found out, he didn't roar or shout. He didn't give me the silent treatment. He showed me grace. He was a loving, kind father towards me, even though I had wrecked the front of his car. I wasn't grounded. I wasn't punished. Now, I'm sure I helped to pay for some of the repair, but I was dealt with graciously. I didn't need to fear. And that's what we can expect when we go to the cross like John. We don't need to fear being rebuked or being scolded. We won't be met with a disappointed look or the silent treatment. We will be shown grace. We will be treated in a way we don't deserve. All our mess and our mistakes will be forgiven. And like John, we'll be given a great responsibility. We're called into God's service, working for him as his ambassadors in this world. So if you have run off, if you're hiding, or if you've never come at all, come now to the cross. Come to the cross of Jesus. Come quickly and you will receive grace. And the Lord Jesus has special and unique work for you to do in his service. So are you a good son or daughter? How do you treat your parents? How do you look after those who are entrusted to your care? Have you received grace at the cross of Jesus? Well, we see in Jesus here the wonderful example of what it means to be a son who cares for his mother, to look after those in your care, and to extend grace. We see Jesus who provides practically in the midst of his suffering, showing grace to those he loves. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful truths in your word and the amazing picture that we have of your son. Even in this brutal scene of Jesus hanging on the cross, we see his wonderful heart, the beautiful character of God in how he cares for his own mother. In the midst of his work of salvation, in the midst of his suffering, Lord, your heart is revealed. And we thank you, Lord, that that is the same heart that cares and looks after us. And Father, thank you that you show us such grace, that we have freedom to come to you to be forgiven, that we won't be put away from you, that we won't be rebuked or scolded. Lord, you will accept us and welcome us when we come to your cross in faith. Help us, Lord, now as we come around the Lord's table and we remember what Jesus has done, as we draw near to the cross of Jesus in this tangible way. Lord, we pray that your grace would be extended to us now, that you would help us to turn from those things that we do that don't please you, to commit ourselves to lives that would honor you. And Lord, that you'd be showing grace to each of us here now as we come to remember the death of your son. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.